Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about faith, family, freedom, the state of Illinois, our nation, and conservative action. Here's David Smith and Monty Larrick.
The voice of Kathy Valenti here on Illinois Family Spotlight. Thank you, Kathy. I'm Monty Larrick. And this is David Smith, the Executive Director of the Illinois Family Institute. Dave, we are joined by a special guest. He is the Reverend John Kirkwood, who is the pastor of Grace Gospel Fellowship in Bensonville, as well as one of the founders and leaders of the Christian Emergency League. Pastor Kirkwood is also on the board of Illinois Family Action, and so good to have you here, Pastor.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me, folks.
Well, you were a very vocal critic of Donald Trump during the election cycle. You worried that he would tarnish the image of conservatism and also the witness of Christian leaders who fell in line with Mr. Trump. What do you think now?
Well, I have mixed emotions about it. I'll be honest with you. I don't know if how many of your listeners read Doug Wilson, but I pretty much...
That's Pastor Doug Wilson.
Pastor Douglas Wilson. I pretty much in line with him. During the campaign, I was dismayed that so many evangelicals were jumping on the Trump train. I did understand at the end that people were boxed into a corner and had to make a decision. However, some of the high-profile evangelicals who got on the train when there were still other good candidates available, and even at the end, were a challenge to my thinking. Now, since then, I've seen some very good things. I'm excited about some of his appointments. He is our president now, and so I'm hopeful. However, the things he did during the campaign have already changed the Republican Party, because people like to copycat success, and others now are going to run and try and emulate Donald Trump who aren't Donald Trump. And look, I think I was against the Linsky tactics when the left was using them. I'm certainly against them when the right is using them. And I've been pleasantly amused recently that the Trump administration has come out so strong against fake news, having been the guys who fronted...
Labeling CNN, no less, as fake news.
And
right?
There is fake news, and including the National Enquirer and Ted Cruz's five mistresses and his dad, who was on the grassy knoll. So,
right.
but having said that, I am grateful. You know, when the election happened, the first thing that hit me is I was thrilled Hillary lost. And then I thought to myself, I've got a lot of friends who are police officers. I've got friends who are serving overseas. And I thought to myself, what a joy it'll be to have a White House that isn't going to make the thin blue line end up being in a crosshairs as racist and horrible people. And it's not going to put our troops and those who are serving overseas in jeopardy by not having their back.
Or subject them to social experiments.
That, and I thought to myself as well, we're going to have a new relationship with the nation of Israel, which is very important to me.
Absolutely.
And so there's a lot of good that's going to come out of this, although I don't think government is going to get smaller. When I hear even people from Illinois, like our own representative, who's a great man, Randy Hultgren, when I hear Randy Hultgren put up on his Facebook page that we have to replace...
Obamacare.
Right. I asked, and he never answered, but I asked, where does he find that in the enumerated powers of the Constitution? So I think there's a huge mistake. There's this euphoria that the Clintons lost, but there was that same euphoria when George W. Bush won. And now, if you look back on it, including our new president thought the Bush administration was a failure, even thought he should be impeached. So you look back on the Bush administration, and the best thing you could say about it was that it wasn't the Gore administration. somebody told me that, Betsy DeVos was a great choice for the Department of Education. Great! So was Bill Bennett. So was Bill Bennett.
Yeah,
but that's
right.
not the problem. The problem is we shouldn't have a Department of Education.
Yeah.
Because as great as she may be for the next 4 years or 8 years, if the tides change again and we get a 50-year-old Bernie Sanders in there, we're going to have another lousy Department of Education secretary. So
that's right.
I think there's been good and bad. I do think that some evangelicals have been completely soiled, at least in my view and some of the view of others. I think they've challenged their whole integrity. Men like, and I hate to drop names, certainly Jerry Falwell Jr., Mike Huckabee, these guys who were on the Trump train early and who tried to cover for some of the indiscretions that are really indefensible.
Right.
I think they've dropped their evangelical card. I hate to say it.
They were under the impression that Donald Trump was the only candidate who could defeat Hillary Clinton.
They could have been under that impression. I'm under the impression now that Trump won that nobody could have lost to Hillary Clinton. Because, let's face it.
That's a very good point, actually, isn't it?
Trump had huge baggage going into this. I mean, he divided the conservative party. I mean, that video with Billy Bush and all that. Listen, people would have voted for a corpse rather than Hillary Clinton.
The numbers back you up, to tell you the truth. If Mitt Romney was running this election and the Democratic candidate got the same number of votes, he would have won. If John McCain got this, opponent got the same, Barack Obama got the same number of votes, he would have won. So it was not a rush election or a tidal wave election for Republicans. It was lack of turnout for the Democrats, because they were unenthused, unimpressed, and stayed home.
What really shows that, there's a graph that shows the number of votes in the last like three or four elections, and the high watermark for Democrats was Barack Obama at about 70 million votes.
That's right.
And what you see on that graph is the Republicans staying about the same and the Democrats plummeting from there.
We have that in the IFI newsletter.
Yeah. So
I'm not so sure, though, that a candidate, let's say Senator Ted Cruz, would have had the same appeal to blue-collar working voters in states like Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, and Ohio.
Well, he won Ohio after saying that he was not going to fund ethanol. So I would disagree with you there. Ted Cruz won Iowa, being the only one who didn't pander to Iowa. So we'll never know.
I'm talking about a general election, not the primary.
Yeah, we'll never know. But, the baggage that Hillary had would have been the same with any Republican. I actually think, if you want me to look back at it now, I was a Ted Cruz supporter. I actually think Carly Fiorina would have been the best candidate against Hillary Clinton. She's the most articulate. She's outside of politics, just as Donald Trump was. She doesn't have nearly the amount of baggage.
A businesswoman.
So she has all the positives that Trump had and none of the negatives.
Well, let me just circle back around to Monty's point. And of course, we're all speculating here, but it could have been that so many people were upset with the loss of jobs and the poor economy in those states that anyone but Hillary or anyone but the Democrat this time around. And again, like I said before, it wasn't a huge tidal wave for Republicans. It was a lack of turnout for the Democrats.
Monty, I'll challenge you on your speculation and say, does any other Democrat beat Trump? Because any other Democrat wouldn't have had the baggage of Hillary, and Trump didn't.
Joe Biden.
Trump didn't really bump those numbers up. You're right. Those numbers, although it seems like a tidal wave, were not a tidal wave.
No.
So the thing is we don't know. It's speculation. But I'll tell you this. The scariest thing for me about this election was not Hillary Clinton, as awful as she is, or even the problems I had with Donald Trump. The thing that I think was most fearful about this election was seeing the millennial love for Bernie Sanders.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
If you get a younger, more attractive candidate, somebody in the JFK Jr. type vein that carries Bernie Sanders' message to these young millennials in 4 years or 8 years.
By the way, Barry Sanders would have run all over everybody.
I would have voted for Barry.
That's right.
He would have lost some yardage, too.
That's right.
Yeah.
But you know what? Part of me is worried that so many millennials are embracing the ideals of socialism, democratic socialism. But part of me also kind of is hoping and praying that these folks, as they age, as they get married, as they have children and are paying taxes, right, that they will mature and come along.
That's the Winston Churchill line, right? If you're 20 and you don't have a bleeding heart, you're not a liberal.
Right.
If you're, you know, you don't have a heart. If you're 40 and you're still a liberal, you don't have a brain. I understand that, but that's a big hope. And I'll tell you why that's, I think, faulty logic.
Yeah.
Is because there's a reason they love Bernie. They love Bernie because they've had 12 years of schooling that told them that capitalism was awful, that America was the biggest problem with the world, and that socialism is compassionate. So they have 12 years of entrenched learning that would may argue against it. We've never seen this before. A couple generations have learned this.
We're going to have to take a break here in a moment, but I would like to talk to you about that. Let's pick it up on the other end, Monty, when we can talk about, like, what does it take to undo what's been taught, as John is talking about, in 12 years of school.
You're listening to Illinois Family Spotlight, and we'll continue our discussion right after this.
Hi, this is Kurt Jarrus, the host of Veracity Hill. Veracity Hill is a radio podcast dedicated to striving for truth on faith, politics, and society. I don't have all the answers, but join me as I explore important topics with guests from respective fields. To learn more, text the word VERACITY to 555-888. That's VERACITY to the number 555-888, or check out our website at veracityhill.com.
Defending Christianity, religious liberty, legislating morality. Join renowned speaker and award-winning author Dr. Frank Turek for his biblical insights on today's issues at the Illinois Family Institute Worldview Conference, Saturday, February 18th at the Village Church of Barrington.
If you want to be in government, only atheists can be in government. Does it say that anywhere? No.
The Illinois Family Institute Worldview Conference.
Pastors were not called to be tax exempt. We were called to be salt and light.
Tickets for the IFI Worldview Conference are $20 per person and just $50 per family. Student scholarships are available. Seating is limited, so please register at illinoisfamily.org or call the IFI office 708-781-9328. illinoisfamily.org or call 708-781-9328.
People are talking a lot about healthcare these days. There are so many changes, so many questions. As Christians, where can we turn for answers? At Samaritan Ministries, we believe the answer is in Jesus Christ, working in the lives of His people, demonstrating Christian community by sharing each other's medical needs, scripturally, faithfully. Here's just part of Brett's story in his own words.
When I reflect on Samaritan Ministries, the biggest thing that stands out to me is that we, as a body of believers, are living out New Testament Christianity. This idea that Samaritan has adopted from the book of Acts should permeate all parts of our lives, not just health sharing. It has a profound impact on people like me and my wife.
Brett is just one of over 200,000 members who are sharing over $23 million in medical needs each month. If you'd like to experience what it's like to partner with other Christians for your healthcare needs, and you'd like to see what other members are saying, visit MySamaritanStory.org.
Well, thanks for joining us once again here on Illinois Family Spotlight. I'm Monty Larrick, joined by David Smith, Executive Director of Illinois Family Institute, Illinois Family Action, and we are joined with our guest, John Kirkwood, who is the pastor of Grace Gospel Fellowship in Bensenville, and also one of the leaders and founders of the Christian Emergency League.
Right off of Route 83 and 290. Can't miss it.
Yep. Before we took a break, we were discussing millennials and the appeal that Bernie Sanders had to these millennials. And Dave was saying, you know, when these millennials get older, that maybe their line of thinking might change and
mature.
Yeah, and they might become a little more conservative. Let me tell you a story. My youngest daughter, living and working in, of all states, South Dakota, right? And she's starting to get a paycheck. And she says, ah, I like the fact that I don't pay income tax.
Mm-hmm. She's bringing home a little more.
And, you know, the appeal that Bernie Sanders had, well, it's not so appealing now.
Interesting.
Okay. Well, you know, that's a good thing. Where does she live?
South Dakota.
Brookings, South Dakota.
Okay, South Dakota, where it doesn't matter much anyway. But if she lived in Illinois, her vote would be swallowed up. But I agree, there is truth to what you just said. You just said Churchill was right. But Lenin said, give me 4 years to teach the children, and the seed I have sown will never be uprooted. So here's the thing. What you just mentioned about your daughter was something that is fiscal. She might have, you know, grown fiscally to realize that this is bad. But what we're seeing in the public school is not only are they becoming socialists, they're becoming atheists as well.
Militant.
You've seen the Barna research that shows that pretty much one semester at college is all it takes to lure away about 70% of evangelical
that's right.
youth.
No, that's very concerning. Absolutely.
And so it's, to me, there's two things, and there were two reasons we started the Christian Emergency League, and which is based loosely on Bonhoeffer's Pastor's Emergency League during the 30s in Germany. And those two reasons are we saw weakness in the pulpit and stridency in the White House at the time under the Obama administration. Now, I think there's going to be a change in the White House, but great change in America doesn't happen from the top down.
Right.
And so we still have this huge problem of the public schools and what they're teaching. And also, you know, we who was it? I forgot the Supreme Court Justice who mentioned Brandeis said that, you know, America is 50 experiments in democracy, right? Mm-hmm. So if you don't like that Colorado has just made marijuana available at the 7-Eleven, you could move to South Dakota or Utah and vote with your feet.
That's right.
But what we're seeing in America, especially with this last election where Hillary wins by 2 million votes and yet loses in the Electoral College, we're seeing this kind of polarization, right, where you have these areas of blue on the coast and this vast swath of red in the middle of the country. Now, there's a problem with
Sands, Illinois.
Yeah, there's a problem with that map, right? If you look at that map top down, you say, wow, we got a lot to be positive about. But here's the problem. I say you have to look at that map like you're looking at at an x-ray, right? The x-ray could be 95% good, but it's that dark blotch right on the lungs that are troublesome. So if you take that map, the red map, let's take the map of Illinois, it's all red except for Cook County and Rockford and East St. Louis, right? It's right, all red right, except right. for these little tiny three blue spots.
And now, Champaign County, but that's
you,
okay.
You see all that red. So you tilt that map, and instead of looking at it from top down, you tilt it sideways, and now you only see a little bit around the horizon. You see a little pink on the horizon, and you see these vast blue towers stretching up to the heavens. And those aren't Trump Towers, Dave. No. Those are, some people would describe our state as a death spiral state because we're losing somebody, every 5 minutes?
Right. That's right.
And the odds are the person moving out of this state is a white blood cell, is a red voter, right? Is somebody that is healthy.
A white blood cell. I like
so
that.
So now, for a place like Illinois and our country, right, we only have two choices. We either create more white blood cells or we attract more white blood cells. Well, we're not attracting them here. And so you say, how do you create them? And you look and you see the stranglehold that the NEA and the unions and the Democratic Party have on our educational system. And
absolutely.
You say, we have to do something here. We have to strike it at the root of the tree.
Well, this is where I think Donald Trump is right on target with his education secretary choice, who favors school choice.
Yeah. School choice would be huge. I hope it takes root elsewhere. But remember, and this is my point about 4 years or 8 years. School choice had taken root before Barack Obama. There was school choice in Washington, D.C.
That's exactly right.
And he unplugged it. And it was one executive order and it was gone.
That's right. And so
it's got to be
okay,
more.
So let me jump in here real quick and just ask you this. All right. I agreed completely with your diagnosis and the problems at hand. It's not good. However, at the same time, I listen to Dennis Prager every so often, mm-hmm. and in his Prager University videos, he claims are powerful and changing minds in 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's obviously it's not a complete deprogramming. It's changing minds issue by issue as people see them. And we also see Ray Comfort going around the nation asking people and videotaping it. Are you pro-life or pro-choice? Do you know what abortion is? And then showing them an abortion video of a procedure of an abortion, and then having a good percentage, a high percentage of them taking off their headphones, looking and saying, whoa, I didn't know that. And I also subscribe to the thought that such were some of you, you know, as Paul says, that people can change. And so now does it take for people to change their minds, and what will it take? Well, it's going to take us. Mm-hmm. It's going to take the church to get out into the streets and stop sitting on our hands and disciple the nation. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what we're called to do. Right. So, I have hope that we could, but will we? I mean, that's the question.
I think you've just hit the nail on the head, because I think part of the euphoria of a Trump win is we think we can stack arms now. I think people think
that's the fear. Absolutely.
Right. And the problem is expecting spiritual results from a politician is like expecting the Cubs to win the Stanley Cup. We just celebrated Martin Luther King Jr.
We got to have him on. Right. I like these Kirkwoodisms. I love this.
Martin Luther King Jr. He did not win success with that movement through politicians. Politicians come dragging and screaming to the right place, and normally they're the last ones that arrive and the first ones to take credit. So I think we have to have a different dynamic toward politicians, and we've treated them like rock stars for too long, and now they should feel more like servants who are asking us permission. And that's
we
one
pay
of
their
the
salaries.
Things. Yeah, exactly. one of the things yep. about the Obamacare thing, I don't know, I'm sure you guys remember the whole YouTube sensation where these guys would come back home for town halls and get an earful.
Yes.
There's a reason our founders wanted government to be small and close to home, right? They wanted your representative to have to shop in the Jewel next to you so they could, you know, hear you yell at them from the next lane. One of my favorite letters that John Adams wrote, Abigail Adams, is a letter in which he announces to her that he's been talked into running for Congress, and he's apologizing to her. He's saying, "I'm sorry. I know I'm ruining our lives, but I feel duty bound to do this." That tells you that in our founding era, being a politician was about a notch above being a prostitute. Okay, I think we have to be wary of the idea that politics can fix this, that Trump can do it. That, for example, I'll give you a quick example. I'm sorry, I know I'm filibustering.
Please.
The idea that we've won now because Trump is going to appoint Supreme Court justices. Now, here's the problem with that: when you have a runaway Supreme Court that is legislating from the bench, the answer to that is not to stack the court, to get more conservatives than liberals, because that's still playing the error. The answer to that is to spank the Supreme Court and send them to their room.
That's right.
But we think, if we stack it now, we're good for another 10 years or 15 years. No, I'm sorry. Look, if Roe v. Wade was turned over tomorrow by four more Scalias that Trump puts on the court, we would still have as many abortions in Illinois that we did prior to
because it
goes back to the states. New York would be killing babies. Illinois would be killing babies.
Illinois would actually probably become a dumping ground. Yeah. Missouri and Kentucky and Indiana.
Taxpayer paid abortions.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
So I think our solutions have to be, as you stated, David, from the church out, instead of waiting for, you know, our shepherds in Washington to do the right thing. They won't do the right thing until we force them to do the right thing.
That's right.
Until they feel the pressure.
All right. With that, we need to say goodbye and thank our guests. The Reverend John Kirkwood, the pastor of Grace Gospel Fellowship in Bensenville.
Pastor John.
Pastor, when are your services? Can people just stop by?
You know what? You can catch us at gracebeliever.com. You could stop by 9:30 on Sunday.
All right. Thanks a lot. Until next
time. Thanks,
John. God bless.
Thank you for listening to Illinois Family Spotlight. For more information, please visit us at ifiaction.org and look for us on Facebook and Twitter. If you would like to email us questions or comments, please do so at feedback@ifiaction.org. Until next time, stay engaged and keep your eyes on the prize.